Hi, Jennifer Thompson. Thank you both for coming. Been on the peninsula 18 years with the state of Alaska for 18 years. And looking over the budget, my question to you is, why are we cutting from the bottom up and not the top down, from the governor's office down? He increased his budget and decreased ours. What are you going to do about that? Is that on the table?
It absolutely is on the table. I happen to notice that. The budget document is the starting point, right? And it's going to change significantly. We have a lot of work to do. That's one of the things that we need to look at. When I made the cuts to the Department of Transportation, what I said is that it can't affect anyone that's operating a piece of equipment. But you know why I said that? Because what happens to state departments over time, like the perfect corporate structure looks like this. You have a span of control of employees below you, and you're maximizing those positions and their value, and you're putting all the priority where the rubber hits the road. So what's happened over some of these departments over time is they start going like this, and we're trying to get it back there. So you bring up an excellent point, and it's the right way to look at it. Who's actually doing the work? Who are delivering the services, and how can we turn it back into a triangle?
You want an Alaskan analogy? It's like a totem pole, and we're all holding up the governor's office. If you start cutting us, he's going to fall too.
Thank you.
Hello, I'm Dean Bartsch from McKiskey. Too much for a minute. School vouchers, I have been educating people for better than a decade. $67,000 a year. You guys give me vouchers for $67,000. That means you get $6,000, one less student. You can spread that $6,000 however you want, or you can cut the budget and spend $3,000. It's a win-win-win-win situation. How many people here know that their homes that they sleep in are public buildings by definition of the state fire marshal? Okay. We can cut the state fire marshal back to what the legislature said he was supposed to do, and that was to guard public buildings. By definition, a tax-owned building, not my home. But he has expanded, and his office has expanded. Cut that budget down to him, and let him do the work that he was meant to do.
Thank you, Dean. I think you remember that I did.
Do it more. A quickie. Government, we're capable of handing microphones from one to the next, but we need a government official here to hand it back.
Well, I appreciate the help. Thank you for being here. You guys have a tough job and a lot of responsibility that goes with it. So thank you for coming to this. I think both of you know that the governor's budget is not balanced because statutorily it requires a change to Title 4356, which is oil and gas property tax. And my question, and I'm going to give you some statistics, is whether or not you have analyzed the impacts on the governor's budget proposal, including the legislation, on the Kenai Peninsula Borough, on local government, and on the service areas within the Kenai Peninsula Borough. Because I'm going to give you a couple of statistics just from a quick review, just from the impacts of 4356. McKiskey seniors would lose about 60% of their revenues. That's about the amount that's attached to oil and gas. The road service area would lose about 25% of their revenues. That's a borough-wide road service area. McKiskey recreation area would lose about just over 60% of their revenues. McKiskey Fire also would lose about 60% of their revenues because 60% of it comes from 4356. Anchor Point Fire would lose 37%. That's as a result of the Blue Crest impact. So the governor's budget, as proposed, the general fund at the borough would lose 18% of its revenues, not including the shared fisheries taxes, which also a piece of proposed legislation. There's a lot of things that will negatively impact this, the Kenai Peninsula Borough and the state of Alaska, in terms of an economic outlook and the economy in Alaska. And Representative Carpenter, I agree with you. We need to expand the economy. But if we expand the economy, we also have costs associated with it. And I've done some presentations over the last couple of years that show the impacts to local government when we see economic activity. Local governments have sales tax, property tax, other taxes. We can pay our share, but the state, unless it's in oil and gas and to some extent fishing and a little bit for mining, we don't capture any revenues at the state level in spite of the fact that a good deal of the costs are supported by the state, particularly in education. So I guess I'm wondering whether you've analyzed the economic impacts and of the governor's proposal.
So
one final thing, and that is that I'm a product of the Kenai Peninsula Borough School District. I got a great education, had generations of kids after I graduated. That budget process is happening now. If you're interested in that, they're putting their budget together. They have budget hearings that have been announced. That's where you need to weigh in and talk about what you'd like to see at the local level.
So the short answer to your question is yes, we have begun the analysis of this. I have talked with Mayor Pierce regarding the impact to the Kenai Peninsula Borough, and I have a fairly good understanding of where how that would impact the borough. And we're working to find a solution that doesn't include taking all of that money.
So we're still waiting on some documentation from the municipalities, Mike, and not just on the Kenai Peninsula, but across the state, because we, although I represent all of you in District O from Point Position to Lowell Point, reality of it is we want to understand the statewide impact. It's a little like income taxes, unfortunately, but it's a really great analogy. So why should the communities that have the impacts, that have to provide the services which brought the oil and tax revenue and the fisheries landing tax revenue, have to pay for the services that go around the whole state, right? There's a pretty good analogy there. We provide $15 million worth of services for the $15 million worth of oil and gas revenue. We provide the same amount of services and infrastructure in Seward and the Kenai Peninsula for the fisheries landings tax. It's not balanced. I think he knows it's not balanced. I think he knows it's not going to fly, but he's pushing us to have those conversations for what do we do next? Here's the reality fiscally. What are your solutions if you don't support these? I don't know that he supports a lot of these solutions. I don't know how much hands-on experience he had with the OMB's budget. I know the commissioners weren't involved, the professionals weren't involved. So my synopsis is that he said, affect everyone, let's start the conversation, because nothing else in it makes sense. There's 30 pieces of legislation, of which a few are going to pass, that would allow us to make the cut statutorily. I think he knows that. So I think it's a conversation starter, and it's starting a lot of conversations.
And Mike, I would just add that I have spoken personally to the governor. He is calling this a transformational budget. To what is a very good question, right? That is a good question. So we can be upset that we don't understand, or we can ask him to explain. Right? And that's what I've done. Right? We do.
Thank you, Mike.
I have spoken to him personally. I do believe that he wants to see a right-sized budget for this state, and he is committed to that.
And to make it clear, we meet with him regularly. We've not any fault of Ben's, because Ben would have liked to have organized a much longer time ago. And congratulations to Ben for being on finance. You're well represented in finance, with me being on there and Ben being on there. It's that's where the rubber hits the road. But I still don't know that I'm getting the whole picture, which is what leads me to believe that it's an exercise in forcing us to evaluate what we're spending our money on and prioritizing that spending.
The budget as proposed by the governor, my name is Jesse Bjorkman from Nikiski. The budget as proposed by the governor is going to have consequences. Whether it's a strategy or a tactic, the budget as proposed means that probably about 125 teachers are going to be pink slipped right here from this this borough and thousands around the state. It has consequences. If that's what you're willing to accept as a strategy or a tactic, I hope you're willing to accept those consequences. Senator, I appreciate your continued statements over the summer as we were on the campaign trail that you had no interest in cutting education and that you weren't going to do that again. Representative Carpenter, I would like to hear some more from you about growing the economy and how that is going to, as Mayor Navarre said, support state services that the state is responsible for paying. Right now, the only folks that pay into state coffers are oil and gas and folks that are organized under a C Corp. Are you proposing that we change the state tax code so that those new businesses and the growth of the economy support the state government? And then the question for you, Senator, is do you plan to stand by your promise not to cut education?
So I believe that the state government can facilitate economic growth, but the economic growth comes from the people who are in the chairs out here. Entrepreneurialism and pushing forward with their ideas, taking risk, is what's going to grow our economy. I've met with many individuals who have come into my office down there in Juneau. There's an individual, a couple down there who have got a small operation, hydroponic farming operation, who are growing about 5,000 head of lettuce a month and selling it in the local area, amongst other products that they're growing. Okay, that's not a state-driven solution, but it is an increase to the economy of the local area. I'm not looking for the government to tell us how to do that. The people can figure that piece out. Nobody's talked to me and said that they need to see a cut in the corporate income tax to make that happen. If that's something that needs to happen in order to spur growth, then let's investigate it. I'm currently not looking at that, but it should be on the table if it's something that'll spur growth. We at least need to consider it. Did I get all your questions, or what else are you looking for?
You talked about the growth in the economy as a way to fix part of the state budget problem. So are you intending to propose new taxes to businesses in Alaska to fix that problem? I see a disconnect there, as Mayor Navarre mentioned. I see a disconnect, as Mayor Navarre was talking about the growth in the economy, and that not matching up.
There's a disconnect between the growth in the economy and that not matching up to the state being able to provide services to service that growth, whether it be in education or roads or other things that the state's responsible for.
Mm-hmm. So increase taxes immediately, that's a hard pill to swallow for businesses. It has a negative impact to businesses. Economic growth is not something that happens just like that. It's something that's going to take time. And I'm talking about economic growth as a solution to our problem long term. Short term, we're all going to have to, it's going to be painful, whichever way we look at it.
So on the question you asked me specifically, we tried to cut education. 3%. Tried for 4 years. And it was to start this conversation about how we're going to deliver education responsibly in the future. I'm tired of banging my head against the wall, so one of my reasons for that is you're not going to get it across the finish line unless it comes from the red pen from the governor. Ultimately, I still want to have that conversation. I want to understand what happens. And so here's the part about the budget that is frustrating for me, Jesse. No one has evaluated, when you make this happen, how does this affect everyone else? They simply found large numbers. I've been in large budgets my entire life. That's not how it works. That's not how it works. You have to say, what is the end result you want to have? How's it going to impact everything else with all these different levers that happen? And what's the right mix? If you want to get to a certain number, you have to understand what it takes, what statutory changes need to happen, how you get there in the long term, and how it affects everyone else. I'm not interested in saying I'm cutting the state budget and then having the Madison's property taxes go up by $3,000 a year. I want to actually cut the budget in a way that makes sense, allows us to continue delivering quality services, but actually works, actually reduces the cost and doesn't shift the cost to other payers, right? So on your question about whether or not education is going to be cut, and if I have a commitment, I don't support large cuts to education. But my job is to pass a budget by the end of this year. And if there's a compromise that results in a slight reduction in education, that may be where I have to go to get out of Juneau, to get done what is required by the Constitution to get done. Do I think that's going to happen in a large amount? Probably not. So I can't say that I won't support a budget that has a dollar cut to education. What I can tell you is I'm going to drive for a budget that doesn't have a 25% cut to education. And if we're ever going to get to that level, it's going to take a long time of evaluating how to deliver a better product at a lower cost. And that's not going to happen in FY20.
Hi, my name's Allison Towle. I go to Soldotna High School. I just wanted to, I don't know if it's a question really, but like, when I was thinking about like the budget cuts, I think that, well, I think I know, but I know that a lot of extracurriculars are probably going to go away, and I feel like extracurriculars are very important to a lot of high schoolers because we have a lot of information that gets packed on us all day, and extracurriculars to me, and I know to a lot of people because they tell me, because extracurriculars help them regain their mental stability. It helps them kind of keep going and makes them kind of refresh in a way. And I feel like it would be very bad if that was taken away from them. I also feel like if we're not giving the educational tools that these students need, I don't know how that's going to help them in the long run, because students are 100% this future of Alaska. And if we're not giving them the tools to help make Alaska better, then I don't know how that's going to help us in the long run. And I do want to ask if this does just end up passing, how are teachers supposed to cope with the budget that they have to help make it, I don't know how to explain it, but make it right, like make it, yeah, manageable. yeah, thank you.
Thank you for coming and asking your question, sharing your thoughts. If I took the last question first and say, how are adults supposed to cope with change? We all have very different ways to do that. And
well, can you let him answer the question, and then you can, if you have a follow-up, you can.
So I don't know that I have a really good answer for how we help teachers cope with change in our budgets. That's largely an individual thing that we have to learn ourselves as we grow up and become adults and face difficult decisions. I don't know that there's a government solution that's going to help teachers cope better with the challenges. Is there another part of that question that you want some help with?
I guess, that's really loud. I guess I just kind of want to ask, like, because it's a very big budget cut, and it's very quick, and it's very, like, it's very drastic, and usually it's really hard for people to react to something that's very quick. Like, it usually, if it's, like, a slowed-down process, mm-hmm. and it's a gradual thing, it's easier for them to react to it. But I feel like if it happens so quickly, it's not going to be very good. So, yeah, that's what I was thinking.
So I guess the way I would answer that question is that would be very difficult to manage. A 25% cut for a teacher that right now is buying their own equipment in the classroom, that right now is working without a contract, which isn't my issue, that's a borough issue. You guys take that up with them. We have enough issues. It's very challenging. The question we're asking is, how important is education to you, and at what level do you want to fund it? And if it's above what we can afford, how do you want to pay the difference? What I think is going to happen is that people are going to say, I don't want to substantially cut education funding. I want a better outcome. I want you to find ways to deliver education in rural Alaska at a lower cost. I want you to do the things that deliver a better product at either today's cost or a lower cost. throwing money at education does not improve education. That's proven in study after study. I know some of you are going to get mad at me about saying that, but that's just reality. We are funding education at an adequate level. So I hope that people will come forward with ideas that help teachers manage a much lesser reduction, if there is one, or to stay sharp going forward for a better outcome. Some people use the outcome in the state as a reason to cut education. I think that's really bizarre logic. I don't think those two things have a correlation. But I do want them to feel the pressure that everyone else is feeling about our spending and do the best they can on that product going forward.
Hi, my name is Kate Vay, and I want to thank you for doing this job. I know it's tough, and I hope you're finding joy in the challenges of it. So this was great. This survey was really great, and I think I would recommend that what you do is you ask people in the state of Alaska about how to raise revenue using one of those surveys again. And I'd like to give you some suggestions. I don't know if you already are doing these. Tax plastic paper and disposable shopping bags. I would recommend 5 cents per bag statewide. Tax junk food, Twinkies, greasy foods, genetically modified foods. Increase the sales tax from May through September when the tourists are out in full bloom, and decrease the sales tax from October to April when year-round residents still reside here. Start looking at a state income tax. Tax studded tires because they're rough on the roads, or maybe increase the tax. I don't know if that's already in existence. Stiff penalties for drivers who drive down the road with unsecured loads. We had an accident this summer that could have been prevented. Increase sales tax and alcohol more because it's a product that can lead to a ton of violence, and particular towards women. And I think women in our state take a lot of grief. Sorry, men. I shouldn't have said that. Anyway, I would say free marriage licenses for people who go through premarital counseling, because it will lead to skill sets that will prevent domestic violence later on. I want to reiterate some really great ideas I heard. Decrease the governor's budget. I like that one. The lady over here said $10 tax for education. That was here in the state in the 70s. Think about that again. Local food and agriculture, really support it. And that's it. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
So before you answer, we're going to, Carla's the last one. Carla, raise your hand. We were going to end at 2. I know I have a couple other events, but Carla will be the last one in line. So if you haven't asked a question and you're in line, we're going to end with Carla. If you have asked a question, please send us an email with your question, and we're happy to get back to you.
This is KDLL Kenai.
Thanks for coming down here. I'm disappointed not to see my representative for District 30 here. It's obvious creative solutions are necessary. Doing more of the same, expecting different solutions, is definitely insanity. Roughly 130,000 students attend our schools statewide. In the UA system, there's about 28,000 students system-wide. University students make up 18.5% of the total student enrollment for K through university level studies. The UA budget is somewhere between 73% to 75% larger than the K-12 funding formula. 68% of all Alaska high school students graduate. 56% of all low-income Alaska high school students graduate. 40% of all Alaska high school students with disabilities graduate. I would propose we spend much less on the university and much more on our local K-12 options and opportunities, not just brick and mortar, but all of the opportunities. The questions I have is, will you seriously consider taking a critical look on how we fund education at all levels, especially the higher education level, because I believe our constitutional mandate really is for right here at home. Can we get a comprehensive, transparent, and independent audit of the UA system and how it spends money? UAA just lost their accreditation for their education program. How is that even possible? We pay professors to paint severed heads of our president, pictures of severed heads of our president. Are we constitutionally required to pay for garbage? Because that's what the university system is giving us. It meets a minority of it meets the needs of a minority of our students. We put most of our money into that system, and we sell our local kids short. These are the foundation and building blocks for a healthy community. The university, that's cream. It'd be great if we had a good university system, but it's apparent that we do not.
Okay, thank you for that question. I actually didn't get to answer the last question. Just very quickly, we've run many surveys. Many of you have taken them over the years, so there you are. She goes to my church, I have to answer her. Our surveys tell me time after time after time that people in District O don't support additional taxes. Time after time after time. And when I ask it in different ways, I get the same answer. And when I put it in a way that says, if you must have a new tax, what would you select? They always go to a sales tax. The last choice is always an income tax. And what I also notice by those is they really support taxing someone else. So it's interesting. I represent the people of District O, which is a very conservative district that wants me to find the bottom of spend before we talk about those other options. So you want to go on there?
I would just answer Jason's question that, yes, we are going to look critically at all education costs within the state and look for the right combination of funding for what we statutorily must do.
So constitution-wise, you're right. I was just reading that in finance the other day when the university was in there. We are required to maintain and support K-12 education. We are only required to establish a university, which says, here's your land bank. Sorry, university, you're on your own. And we are required to maintain K-12. I think that's an excellent point. I'd like to know. And according to the poll, one of the first to cut was the university here. And we have a great college here. I am alumni. I finally graduated from APU. But we love having them. How much can we afford? And how much are we spending because of the territorial wars of Anchorage and Fairbanks that we're delivering some of the same services in both places? I mean, we have to have that discussion. We must. So it's an excellent point. I'm absolutely willing to have it.
Hi, I appreciate you being here, and thank you for your service. You've noticed the high levels of child abuse in the state, and I feel Alaska more than other states need to give children a voice. Currently, there's no age a judge has to consider a child's preference of which parent to live with most of the time, so many children are abused daily. Because judges do lean toward 50-50. If judges had to consider a child's preference at a certain age, I think the end result would be less children being abused, less workload on OCS. The dropout rate in schools might get better, and it could even help end the cycle of abuse that's passed down through generations, making the future in Alaska better. Will either of you sponsor, or can you suggest a sponsor for a bill giving respect to children's preference, like at age 12 or 14, like California or Georgia?
I personally have not looked into this issue, but I will do that for you and look at, it sounds like a reasonable request. It's one side of the issue. It sounds like it's something that should be looked into, but I don't know the other side of the coin, so I'll look into it.
Which is the answer that I also gave you earlier. I'm happy to look at the legislation from other states. I think our age is 15 in Alaska right now. Okay. I thought it was 15. I know the courts gives. Is it 15? Okay, well, we will determine the age today and look at that I am more than willing to invest the time. Ben already said he would, so we're happy to look at that.
If you contact us, give us your contact info, we'll follow up with you.
Awesome. Thank you.
I haven't had a drink of water in 3 hours, so I'm a little parched. Thank you.
We didn't expect hundreds. We expected.
Senator, there's water in the back.
Oh, there is water in the back.
Actually, I took a sip from the drink, the sink in the bathroom, but it wasn't that good.
No. I'm sorry.
Okay, my name is Susan. I live out past Sterling, so you're my representative, and I live, well, and you're my senator, and I work at Kenai Middle School. And by the way, I do teach Quest classes, and we include the Future Problem Solving Program if the legislature would like to have teachers mentor them in how to use the full Future Problem Solving Program and its steps of analysis, divergent and convergent thinking. Please contact me or teachers in Cordova, Fairbanks, Sitka, or Kenai. Okay, I do actually have a question. I would love to raise issues with all these different topics that have come up today. But in addition to Wildwood being cut, ferries, I lived on Prince of Wales for a while. I know what it's like to not have ferries in the winter. People die. It's pretty serious, actually. And cuts to health and human services, cuts to education. I'm a teacher. That really matters to me. But I agree with a student from SoHi who said that the budget cuts are just way too big, way too fast. And so here's my question for both of you. I will preface this by saying that I'm unaffiliated with my voter registration. I vote my intelligence, my judgment, my conscience for the person and the issue. That's pretty important to me. So if the governor makes line item vetoes to the budget put forth by the legislature, which is your next step, are you willing to break with your party affiliation to override his vetoes so that we get 45 of 60 votes, to override his red ink line item vetoes in order to support services and the quality of life on the Kenai Peninsula, because you represent us?
Can I start that, please? So first of all, those of you that went to the district's meeting on the school budget, let me tell you this. Don't put people on the record this early that we need to turn later for different things. Sometimes you get people trapped, and we're going to need people to look at a final budget. We don't know what a final budget is going to look like. We have no idea. So am I going to say today that I'm going to oppose a final budget? I'm not going to say that. Am I going to tell you that I'm going to break from my party to do what's right from my district? Absolutely. Every time. I put people before politics. And I know some people have a very difficult time doing that. But that's always going to be what I'm willing to do. And, you know, so I'm a relatively new legislator. I've served a term and a half. There are folks that have been down there since like the 40s. But when you first get down there, you kind of get into a little bit of that club mindset. And I've just realized it doesn't work. It just doesn't work in our state. I'm a proud Republican just because of the way I see the two differences with the parties. And the way I define them, sorry, this is going to take just a second. I see that Democrats have a tendency to dream of how the world can be one day, and Republicans have a tendency to try to deal with the world the way it is. Somewhere in the middle is often the right answer, right? But I'm not going to put my party before my constituents or my district or the kids of our state. I'm going to do what's right. And if there's a 25% education cut in this budget, I'm going to vote against that every time. That question, I've seen it online, I've seen it all over the place, and I don't mean you've done it, but I've seen people trying to do it online. The worst thing you do is get a new legislator to say yes or no at this point and not realize what the final budget may be. Because sometimes you may have to give a little to get what you support the most, and that may be something I have to do. My constitutional requirement is passing a budget. I don't know what that's going to look like at this point. I just know it's going to look a lot different than it does today.
So
one person liked it.
So the the question represents a political discussion. This is what politics looks like. I'm learning, right? This is my first time. So do I philosophically believe that I can break from my party's view in order to do the right thing? If that's the question that you're asking, then it's undoubtedly yes, I can do that. If there's another question that you're asking that's trying to get me pigeonholed into saying that I'm going to support a specific direction, then this is a premature conversation.
I was asking the other question. At a philosophical and or take action point, will you break with some club that may have established itself that you do or don't want to be part of, whatever that is? Would you break from that if it was good for us and our children and our elders?
I think you can look at the evidence of my actions in the last few weeks as to prove that this is the case. The leaders of our caucus, the Republican caucus, who are now in position of power within the House as the majority, are controlling the conversation of Senate Bill 91. They expected me to just fall right in line and join the majority, and I did not. I am in the minority, which means I have a decrease in power, although they didn't look far enough ahead, and I'm actually on the Finance Committee, so that worked out. The point is, those leaders of the Republican Party who joined to a bipartisan coalition who do not want to see Senate Bill 91 repealed and replaced, I have broken with them. I do not agree with the direction that they're heading, and I will chart a different course with the like-minded individuals that are in the House. No, it's not a sole reason. This is a very complex game that we play down there. that is only one piece of the puzzle.
So that we don't do it right when we get to the point and it doesn't get uncomfortable. If you've asked a question, you've asked a question. George, that means you. If anyone else has asked a question, the others need to go first.
Hi. Thank you for being here. My name is Ann McCabe, and I'm from here in Soldotna, and I have a few questions for you. The first being, for this year's fiscal funding, our school district was awarded $1.4 million, and it hasn't shown up yet and was vetoed by the governor. I'm wondering, A, why it wasn't given to us yet, B, if you see that happening, or if we just suck it up already having budgeted that money for this current fiscal year. So going toward next fiscal year, I'm wondering, and you've talked a little bit about how there hasn't been much analysis of the impact of what's going on right now. So we know it's not going to be the full $20 million, but that equates to the equivalent of 200 teachers. My question is, when we are right now slipping every non-year teacher, what makes you think, if you haven't already considered it, that right now they're not already looking outside the state for a job? Because they can't wait around until July to find out if they'll have one.
So I thank you for that question. That's a great question. I do not support eliminating funding that the legislature and the governor have already signed into law that has already been spent, period. The other question, I'm sure teachers are looking elsewhere. I know they have been. We've had a very difficult time filling our teaching position. Like I said, we had to pass a bill last year to bring long retired teachers back into the classroom because we can't fill them. And it's because of uncertainty. And if we want certainty for oil and gas companies through our tax structure, we should provide a level of certainty for teachers that they're going to remain employed. So I don't support that cut, and I don't think it's going to happen. It requires the supplemental budget, which makes no sense to me. There are things thrown in the supplemental budget that are things that will be spent in the future, and it tried to unspend money that's already been spent. So I think that's a learning. I'm going to throw that out as a learning curve for the new administration. but I don't support cuts from that $20
million. So will there be any kind of assurance prior to two special sessions to try to get a budget so that we can make those decisions here in this district?
Nope. I don't have a crystal ball.
There can be no assurances. Yeah. I'm sorry, I can't promise that. There's no way. We're two people of 60.
It would be easy if it was just two of us. It's those pesky 58 others.
So did you say you thought we might get that $1.4 million?
I know that there is discussion within the House to find the $20 million for this, the what was already promised and written into law. I know that discussion's already ongoing.
Well, they need to release, so it's, we can't appropriate either without signature of the governor. We're pressuring the administration to release those payments of money that was already spent, that we said that they could spend, that both bodies and the governor signed.
But here's what I would say, since we're talking politics here, right? It's maybe an education for all of us right now. We've got a $30 million that's on the table for next year. And you, the teachers in this district down here, are going through a negotiation process right now, right? Do we want to talk about that? Or do we want?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I'm happy to.
So what are you looking at for an increase in spending over the next 3 years? And how does that fit with the current state of our government?
Nice. Okay, so Mr. Jones, thank you for providing us information the other day. Yes, the estimated, not taking into consideration the attrition and the fallout of people who are at the end of the pay scale, the district's projection is $7 million over the next 3 years. He then, just a few moments later, talked about if we just raise the PTR by three students, oh, sorry, yes, the teacher ratio, students per teacher ratio, by three students, that would save, what was it, Mr. Jones? $2.4 million? And then he went on to say, which I appreciate, it's really hard to make those decisions happen really fast. So we would gradually ease into that three students per teacher. So that was $2.4 million per year, right? Which makes up that difference already, just shy of it. So there's that. The other thing is, so that's already more or less paid for, and that equates to, for our custodians who are just coming in, an extra $125 a year. I don't know how many of you drink more coffee than that.
Okay.
We
put you on the spot, but you're going to have every opportunity to communicate with us directly. I don't know how long Mr. Jones has been back there, but I know he will get with us on those numbers, and we will want to understand all those impacts before we move forward. So thank you for that.
And thank you for asking the question. I was happy to share.
I'm all about asking good questions.
Three more. Sorry, sir. The last one is Carla. And I know you wanted to get in the last word, by golly. Okay, can... Well, why don't you come first so we don't do the funny little last word thing. Come on up.
Oh, it's the easy one.
Yeah.
Save the easiest one for last.
No, come on up. We go back a long way.
Okay, thanks for coming. My issue is there's a proposed zero cut of $3.6 million to public broadcasting. Plus, that would be magnified by the loss of federal match money. I would suggest airwaves belong to we the people, not four or five mega corporations. Public broadcasting brings us the assembly meetings right here, 360 North, 50 years of Sesame Street, Nova, Nature, American Experience, American History. All very subversive information, plus weather, emergency broadcasting, etc. I've been in plenty, when I was a working man, I've been in plenty of villages. That's all we had to depend on to see if we had to get out before the weather came. I do have the solution. That's why I was going to say the easy one. 3.6 million cut per year for public broadcasting. Currently, we spend a 6 to 7 million every other year for state-funded primary elections, which is a beauty contest for the political parties. I don't know why we're spending money on two good Republicans, Mr. Carpenter and Mr. Ogle, to decide who's going to win that. 54% of us are nonpartisan. primary elections are not in the Constitution. Let's drop the primary spending, have public broadcast.
That was actually the easiest question Daniel's ever given me, so that is a after you.
I'm not sure I understood the question, well, to be perfectly honest.
So I can explain. And this is where we disagree. I don't believe the parties should choose who is going to represent us. And if there's no primary, it goes to a few people at the district to decide who's going to be your next representative or senator. I don't support that, so I do support the primary system. Until we have a better system, I don't believe in giving who's going to represent you to a few individuals.
So the question would be, are we going to spend money on public broadcasting because it has been eliminated from the proposed budget, right? So the answer to that is, if we are going to do that, where are we going to find the money? Because we don't have it. So that's going to be the question.
Well, not really. So 67% of the people in the district supported Governor Dunleavy. Governor Dunleavy tried to eliminate public broadcasting funding every year he was in the legislature. So I know he likes to point at the legislature, and he's a great man. I like him. But he was there for 5 years. And the number one issue people testified on every year was support for public broadcasting. It wasn't education. It wasn't crime. It wasn't oil tax stuff. Every year it was public broadcasting. So that's something we're going to have to consider. If it's still that important, we'll take that into consideration during the budget process.
I'd love to have a conversation with you later about parties.
Being a dreaming realist, I feel this budget tactic is very unprofessional for schools, to ferries, to Wildwood, to DHHS. The real Medicaid number, when they pays a rate, not a full rate, nor an inflated health care rate. They pay Medicaid rate. They don't pay these high amounts that other people have to pay the other way. I felt I needed to clear that up. Medicaid dental cuts will cost shift to hospitals in increased ER visits, which the hospital's just now getting that under control. We're turfing them to dental clinics and stuff. Most able-bodied Medicaid recipients that we see work one or two jobs. Some get $7 a month in food stamps. I can't buy much with $7. I don't know about the rest of you. You know, the biggest growth industry in the state is healthcare. Medicaid cuts, how do you think they will affect this growth industry?
There isn't a cut out here that's proposed that isn't going to have a negative impact on our economy. Then why do it? What would you prefer? we've got this lemon that we got to suck this juice out of this, right?
We're not doing that. We're still not doing that. We're not going to start.
So I understand. I understand your question. Yep. Thank you.
I will touch on that. You know what my advocacy is. You want an answer?
No, go for it.
I want to prioritize Medicaid service to people that should be receiving Medicaid service. I want to stop the waste. And I want to get it to the folks that Medicaid was meant for. And it was not meant for a permanent solution for folks that should be working. If we sharpen that and we sharpen the IHS leakage, we can provide adequate Medicaid services for the folks that should be getting Medicaid on a lifelong basis, those that are disabled and those that have certain conditions that require that coverage.
So...
Well, I've already talked about Dunleavy's budget. It doesn't work. Yeah, it doesn't. I mean, those aren't real cuts. That's okay.
So just one second before you ask your question. This represents a thinking of our public and our culture that our government is going to solve our problems, and we have got to get away from that. We've got to get away from it.
Okay, next to last question.
I'm Christine. And this week, we made a trip to the emergency room because a cat we adopted from the animal control attacked my partner, and as a result, we had x-rays, all the trappings that go with an emergency room visit, which will probably run, we're hoping, about $1,000, which our household will pay cash. Thank you very much, because we don't qualify for Medicaid, and the question is coming. But first, I'd like to say I think this district owes somewhat of an apology to Senator Michicki for giving him the raft of grief of a write-in election or whatever you called it. Now we come back and ask him to explain all these things since 2013 because we don't want to pay. But I am perfectly in favor of Dunleavy's budget. We are a conservative community. We voted for Dunleavy. We voted for Pierce. And we voted for Trump. Now, if you can't understand that and convert it to this budget, there is something wrong. My two heartthrobs, heartaches, as they were called in the oil field, was exculpatory evidence, David Hague, and mounting on the wall of every public building the state and national motto, "In God We Trust." I thank God very much for you guys to come here, and I ask us all to praise God that we have the blessings we have, ability to pay a $1,000 emergency room visit. I ask you all to remember that, and one thing with this whole discussion is God says in Philippians, praising God. He had to repeat it. Now, these guys here have had to repeat several times that this budget from Dunleavy is not final, and these two guys are not done voting on it. I'd like you to support my display, the public motto, in the House. I'm already working with my legislators. Oh, and by the way, one more thing. Listening to gavel to gavel, I heard one of the legislators say that the farmers at the garden club, or the farmers that were asked, the farmer said to her, he was asked, what can the government do for you? And the farmer guy, local gardening guy, said, get out of the way. And that's what I would prefer from you. Everything you can do to get the government out of my way, I would appreciate.
Thank you, Christine.
And the only thing I want to say about Christine is she's not nearly as crazy as she sounds. She's not. I like her very much. And the change, I just got to say it again. If you have a little extra time and you watch some of the hearings, it will give you a much greater understanding of some of the challenges. It's really informative, and I've enjoyed our interactions. Yes.
Yeah, they're recorded. Go to 360 North, and you can find them.
Yep. There is until July 1.
That's a good point.
So I'm Carla Janess. I am a 20-year English teacher at Nikiski High School, and we've been asked a lot to tell our stories, tell how we affect kids and help kids every day, and I could do that for another 3 hours. My colleagues and I work super hard every day and make great impacts with kids. This is the discussion. Y'all have asked us to give our priorities. My priority is public education. But I'm not just going to say fund education. I'm going to ask every elected official to come into our schools and see what we do. You're welcome anytime. You'll see the impacts that we make every day. And so my question would just be, you know, if you need my phone number to call me and set up any time to come in my classroom, I would love to have any elected official, any parent, any volunteer check in with the office first and head on up to my English classroom, and I'll give you a part and we'll read some Shakespeare and you can see what we do. So thanks for your work, you guys, and I appreciate it.
Thank you, Carla. And of course, you know how much I'm in the schools. You know how much I'm in the prisons. You know how much I'm in the fisheries. Not me personally. But I try to experience all those things. And I will just tell you, I'm very proud of our district. I have my two girls that are in the district. We have one graduated. We have two that are in the district, and we have one that's four. And I'm the two that are in are very different students. One required services because things are very easy for her. One required some services because things were very difficult for her. Actually, the services got her, so things have gotten to be very easy for her. So we appreciate what you do every day. If anyone doesn't realize that, I think you should talk about it to everybody that'll listen. And it should be a required visit for legislators, because some of the folks that seem to be the biggest education haters, and we don't have any of them here on the Kenai, but the ones that happen to be education haters, I don't know if they've ever been in a school. I mean, I think they need to learn a lot about what you do. Still doesn't mean that we have to do the best we can to stretch the dollars that we have available and be as efficient as we can. So I still think there's a point. We can always do better in what we're doing, but we do appreciate what you do every day.
In closing, I would just like to say thanks for everyone to come out. And when I talk about increased participation is required, this is exactly what I'm talking about. I am happy to see all of the diverse opinions and people coming out. Many of you I don't know and would like to change that. So please continue to participate as we go forward, and we will be as transparent and put forward as much information as we can to keep you updated on the processes and the things that are happening down there in Juneau. So that's my commitment. And if we could get it moved to Anchorage, that would be even better for all of us.
Are you through?
Yeah. So thank you.
And same for me. I mean, unfortunately, here's what I'd like to say, is that most of you that are here for every meeting. Can you bring some? We will get a bigger place. We have the same 100 people here every time, and I'd really like to see these numbers grow, because we saw that in the election. I don't care how it turned out. Thank you, Christine. But I don't. It turned out how it turned out. But you just saw so much out there from folks that really don't take the time to learn a lot of the things that are going on. So bring friends with you next time. We can have it in a, I don't know where, but we'll figure something out. But we'd love to grow this group every time we come. We'll come home as often as we need to when our community needs to engage with us. What Conrad wanted me to say is, if you want to take the survey, we actually have a computer set up to take it right now. If you don't have computer access at home, if not, please go take it at home. And thank you all so much for the 3 hours you gave to us today.